weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The path may seem hard, the work may seem heavy, but joy cometh in the morning, and church, morning is on its way.
I love that Democrats, this is what they think church sounds like. Well, I mean, at least this, you know, Kamala Harris and the super far Marxist left. I mean, it's interesting because it feels like, I mean, it's just, they sound so awkward when they do it. And you know that it's just so fake. I can't wait for this election to be over. What about you guys? Can you guys wait for the election to be over? Because I don't think I've ever wanted anything to be over more in my ever loving life. It has been the longest election, and we have been dealing with the stupidest people in this election. And I got a lot to hit because we've got a very interesting thing that's happening as it relates to the press. Well, some of the people who run the press, which I've been thinking about this and I've been working on a piece for it. And it's fascinating to me. Because when you look at USA Today and Washington Post, there's some very interesting things happening. We're going to dive into all of that stuff. So welcome to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of this first hour. It's almost Halloween, but I can't even enjoy that because we got this election. And I hope you went out and early voted. Early vote where you can. People are like, Dana, I like to vote day. I thought you like to vote day. I like to vote day of. But I'm going to tell you what, wherever I can take advantage of Democrats giving me an opportunity to do so, I'm going to run it into a hole in the ground. And you should, too. This, just look at it like this. You have an opportunity to take everybody you know to go vote. Go and vote. If you do not vote, you should be publicly shamed, I feel like. Like, if I find out that a friend of mine didn't vote, I literally disinvite them to places. And Kane can, I mean, I mean like that. I don't give a rat's backside because you didn't do nothing to help me with my taxes. You ain't coming to dinner with me. Step up. I'm not inviting you nowhere. I actually disinvited people to a Christmas party because they didn't vote. You know that? I absolutely did. I don't care. I don't care how mean it is. I don't care. I don't care. Go and vote. Vote like your future depends on it, because it does. I got polling. We got a whole bunch of other stuff. I got, It's just a number of things to hit. So welcome. It's good to be with you. We're going to get started this Monday. I'm going to get into all the polling stuff later. Can we get into, what do I want to, there's like so many things that I kind of want to, that I want to start with. First off, let's hit the Tim Walz stuff first, right? And then we're going to get into the media stuff. So please, dear heavens, let me hit this stuff first. Now, all of my friends who are into football have been asking, did he ever actually coach football? Everybody's been asking me this. Now, Kane and Steve, I set you guys up in Slack. I'm like, somebody's going to have to explain this to me. I know nothing about football, nothing, because I came from St. Louis, okay? St. Louis is a baseball town. We had a big deal with our football, and it was big and bad, and it was very dramatic, so don't ask, because... You know, there's only two ways you can get St. Louisans angry: when you talk about InBev buying Anheuser-Busch, to say nothing of the woke stuff that they did, and then when you get into football. So anyway, he was playing Madden with AOC, which, you know, neither of them do this. Neither of them play. Did it look like they knew what they were doing? I mean, with Walz, we're getting ready to talk about it, didn't. But... it didn't look like they knew at all what they were doing. And so he posts this like screenshot, Tim Walz does. And he apparently, he got dragged for it. So they were on Twitch. They were streaming. Twitch is like a streaming platform. So you can play games and do stuff, and then you can stream on it and people can watch you play. And he was doing this yesterday. He posted, AOC can run a mean pick since, or pick six, sorry, can run a mean pick six, and I can call an audible on a play. And we both know that if you take the time to drop a playbook, you're going to use it. And run a mean pick six. So from what I was told, a pick six is not a defensive scheme, play call, or formation. It is a term when defense returns an interception for a touchdown. True. Kane, explain that to me like I'm two.
All right, let's
I know
say,
nothing about football.
Let's say your quarterback is throwing downfield to...
That's the Tom Brady position, right?
Yeah, to hit, okay. Exactly, to hit his wide receiver for a touchdown or whatever. And then the other team intercepts it, and they run it all the way back to their end zone for the 6 points. They picked the ball, ran it in for six. That's a pick six. That's not a formation. It's not a play that you write down and say, this is what we're going to do. It's just you hope it happens if you're on defense.
Why did he... Someone in his camp deleted this tweet, but the internet's forever, guys. And the dragging had beguneth. Did he say it was a pick six because there were six players on the... I don't understand why he said that.
On the line of scrimmage?
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Sure.
Yes. Because it looks like she has six people lined up. So...
Why would he say that? First off, if you don't know what you're talking about, why would you say something like this? I don't know if he's doing... Is he like a troll? Is he a plant? I don't know. I mean, we know he is for the CCP. But the reason I say this is this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. Why would you say this? Audio soundbite 20, gag us all now. Because this is where he just... I don't know. Watch. This is so hard to watch. It's so bad.
Are we going to play some ball or what are we going
to do? Yeah, let's do it. I'm ready to play. Are you?
I'm ready to get beat.
All right.
Yes, I'm ready.
Let's do this thing.
Oh, no.
This is so bad.
All right.
You got a good quarterback.
He is. He is a good quarterback.
First turn of the game. This is so awkward. Neither of them look like they're enjoying this.
I tried. See, you're a pro, though, so you can call these audibles.
Well, I think I know what these guys are doing, but I don't know which damn
they literally do not know.
And I keep going back to this. This is Project 2025 from Personal Freedoms. I think a lot of folks on here are kind of independent folks, independent thinkers.
This is so stupid.
Why would you want the government telling you what books to read or what doctor to see?
So basically they're pretending to play.
Family can be.
And they're playing like, so one of our listeners / viewers said, well, I can't say what they sent. They're playing fecally, I guess, is the best way. Like, they don't even know how to play. So apparently this person's like, his name's Joe. He's like a hardcore Madden person. He's like, they're playing. It was like telling me, I don't even know about, like, I know the guy that the game was named after. And that's legit all I know. Like, I'm not going to fake it like Tim Walz, right? I'm not going to fake it like AOC. I legit know nothing. I would be scoring on myself a million times if I played this game. I have no idea. Touchdowning on myself. I don't know. Go team, whatever.
Touchdowning on
yourself. Score down, whatever. All right. Not even going to lie. Everyone's like, oh, dear heavens, stick to guns. See, that's what I'm saying. He does not do that. He does not play. Come on. You know he does not play. But they're faking this, and they're so desperate for young dudes that they're on Twitch, and they're trying to make a play for the dudes that are on Twitch and the dude gamers, right? I mean, there are women gamers, but, I mean, it's just way more dudes. And so, I play. No, I've never played Madden. I'll like play horror games or first person shooter, and that's pretty much it. And I've never had a conversation with anybody like, so actually I don't talk when I play, and I'm really selective about any kind of like co-op or squatting up because, you know, and I definitely don't talk when I do, but I would never sit there and be like, so guys, what do you think about this? You know, all the stuff about Project 25, like, what's up? Like, oh my gosh, can you believe with Kamala Harris and this fracking? Because you sound like a loon. No one plays to do that. They play to get away from those people. When people play, they want to, when I play, I want to blow stuff up and shoot tyrannids in the face. And I don't want to be burdened by what has been. I don't want to have to deal with this from these people, right? We can all agree. We want an escape. That is my escape, right? I have a friend that watches like the serial killer murder true crime stuff. And like the gorier, the better. And she like really believes that one day she's going to solve a cold case. Like she goes to the whole like expos legit and everything. That's her escape, right? That's her escape. Because she works in administration for healthcare. So she's got to get away. She's like, oh, it's a heavy job. She needs an escape. Her escape is serial killers. Sidebar. Is that really, like, would you ever want to mess with those people? Like, their escape is true crime. Like, you're just asking to get murked. They know how to do it. I just, you know, I got to say. Anyway, back to this. Did it look like they were playing? How do you know that it wasn't a staffer playing?
I don't know. They would have had to intentionally act like they didn't kind of know what they were doing.
I mean, he acts like he's a Heisman winner. I know what that is. He acts like he's a Heisman Trophy winner and that you should respect his authority about football. And then he's like, oh, run a pick six. Why would you say something like that publicly? Again, back to my original question, knowing that you are going to get dragged on the internet if it's not correct. You know what I'm saying? Why?
Just a knucklehead, Dana. I don't know why.
It's just knucklehead stuff. Speaking of knucklehead stuff, why is screwing Chinese spies like a thing with the left? It's like a trend. Is that like a prerequisite to enter the halls of Congress? Going down the checklist as you go underneath in the tunnels before they're allowing you up into the rotunda. Have you screwed any communist Chinese party spies? Because apparently it's a thing. Not only did what's his face, Fartwell do it, but you also apparently had Swalwell that did it. This is like a crazy story with this guy. So he apparently had a secret fling with the daughter. This is Daily Mail. With the daughter of a top Chinese communist official while he was teaching in China. We're going to pretend that teaching in China is the thing. That's the narrative they're going with. We all know it was because they were making him into a plant, but that's okay. I honestly believe that. And I'm tired of pretending that it's not true. So he had a romance with Kane. The fates are trolling me today. He had a romance with Jenna Wang. Oh. Walls and Wang. Wow. Oh, boy. We're going to bookmark this because we have not even begun to ridicule it. But apparently that's what happened. She said he seduced her. Yeah. So, yeah. And they had to be very careful about public shows of affection because her dad's a big time CCP dude. Mm-hmm. I know. We're going to talk about that and so much more here coming up. I'm just saying. And we got polling as well that we got to get into. The latest with polling. We got immigration. We've got culture. We've got major media malpractice. And is the pendulum swinging the other way now? Because two major moves from two legacy press entities, one of whom has a new owner. Is Bezos following Musk now? And then also USA Today, you know, apparently Trump is Hitler, but Kamala is so bad, USA Today also can't endorse anyone. We're going to discuss all of that and more. Our partners, the folks over at ReadyWise, they're always ready, even if you're not. That's what I like about ReadyWise. Like ReadyWise is just waiting there, waiting up in your pantry, waiting up in your cabinets, you know, just waiting to get going. And if you need it, it's ready because it has a 25-year shelf life. Think about like the weather. Think about some of this other stuff that's been happening lately. Yeah, you always want to make sure that you are prepared to feed yourself and your family because in times of crisis, you never want to have to worry about where your meals are coming from. So two things for you. They have the 20% off when you use Dana20 at checkout. Then they also have the 72-hour food kit, buy one, get one. So it's $100 in value, but you're getting it for $50. And that includes two boxes. They have 12 pouches of premium survival food. You have the drinks, the breakfast, everything. You're getting everything you need for your daily needs, your calories, all your caloric intake, your protein, your carbs. It's like 20% of your daily carbs as well. So not only is it going to power you to get through whatever you need to get through, but you got comfort in a crisis and beyond. And it's a smart choice because this is all made, all sourced in the U.S., packed in the U.S. You know the chain of command for your U.S. food and you're supporting U.S. agriculture and jobs. 25-year shelf life, as I said. Visit ReadyWise.com. Use promo code Dana20 at checkout. 20% off your entire purchase. That's what it gets you. ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
The left keeps preaching for equality if Kamala is elected, but is this a dystopian America? The idea that we're all supposed to end up in the exact same place, even after working much harder than they are, that's like a dystopian Kurt Vonnegut novel.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so JP Morgan is now suing customers who allegedly stole thousands of dollars in the infinite money glitch. You guys remember this whole story? So people were like just going up to ATMs and taking advantage of a technical glitch that allowed them to withdraw funds regardless of whether they had money in their account. There's one guy who owes JP Morgan almost $291,000 after another. So you would cash a check, and then before it could bounce, you could take all the money out. It was wild. And that's what his friend wrote, like a counterfeit six-figure check on an ATM, and then he was able to basically take that out. I don't even know what glitch makes that happen or how it even happened, but it was all over TikTok. Anyway, they're suing everybody under the sun who was doing this, so... let's see. We're going to get to all the Washington Post stuff. There are over 200,000 subscribers that have left after Bezos blocked it. So we're going to the endorsement. We're going to get into all of that in a separate thing. This is probably one of the craziest stories I've ever heard. Influencers drowned during a yacht party because they refused to wear life jackets because they didn't want to ruin their selfies and their tans. I am not even joking. It was off the coast of Brazil, known as Devil's Throat. And a bunch of these Instagram influencers drowned because they would not wear life jackets because they wanted to have like life jacket free selfies. I am not making this up. I swear to you. The media began reporting it on the 25th. And they said that people were too busy taking selfies and doing all these photos. And so they didn't want to. This is just like peak everything that's wrong with society. Is it not? Wow. Can't even make this up. And the Apple iPhone 16 is illegal in Indonesia now. They've banned it, including tourists. And it's because of an agreement with Apple, an investment in Apple they said didn't come through on their promises. So you might want to check. Stick with us. These are new folks to the program. They're called Preborn. It's preborn.com/Dana. And they are clinics. And this is what is really neat about pushing back against the pro-infanticide movement. Because when you consider, everyone talks about, firearms are the greatest cause of death for children, when that's not true. It's actually abortion. It's the leading cause of death for the fifth consecutive year, even though Roe v. Wade was overturned federally and states can still do what they want. But it's incredibly sad because you now have the morning after pill, the abortion pill, that is 60% of all abortions now. And it's widely available. And it also, when you consider abortion, it disproportionately affects minorities as well. Here's where Preborn steps in, because they want to save lives and they essentially want to stop the genocide of different communities. I mean, that's just the truth of it. Their clinics have counseled over 500,000 women who are thinking about abortion. More than 300,000 babies have been saved. Over 80,000 women have come to Christ. And every day, Preborn Network clinics rescue 200 babies from abortion, which is amazing. And all these services, they provide mothers who choose life with maternity, baby clothes, diapers, car seats, counseling, everything. And it's free. And they get up to 2 years of assistance. They see the need. They feel the need. Visit preborn.com/Dana. A gift of $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and you can help a woman meet her baby for the first time. $140 sponsors five ultrasounds. Any donation helps. All gifts are tax deductible. You can become a monthly sponsor as well and receive ultrasound pictures of the babies you help save. Preborn.com/Dana. Visit now and help save a baby's life.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We're days away from All Hallows Eve and days away from the election. Like, we are a week out, y'all. And it's going to get crazier. And it's just getting crazier and crazier. And honestly, like the media stuff, we're going to get into all of that. I want to touch on some of the polling for you. And first off, if you haven't, before I get into any of that, if you have not hopped over to Substack, where I have my Substack chapter and verse, you need to. Later today, at 3 p.m. Central, my friend Sean Spicer and I are having a conversation about kind of the like pre-gaming the election. And then also what happens after the election? Like either way, like you have choice A and choice B. What does it look like realistically without all the pomp and hysteria? We're going to have that conversation, and it's going to be live streamed over at Substack, and you can go and you can access that, and it'll be a fun thing. So make sure you do that. You can also find us at Facebook and all that good stuff. Let me pull this up for you, because there was a Reuters poll That's showing, there's a Reuters poll. This one came out this morning. Harris 47, Trump 46. She went down one, he went up one. And that is out today as opposed to the surveys that were taken. So this was the first poll that was taken that's showing the minus one for her, plus one for Trump was October 15th through the 21st. This one is October 25th through the 27th. Now, the difference is it's likely voters, not registered voters. So take that as you will. But regardless, I do think it's, again, all of this is just like, do not take this as gospel truth. When I share surveys like this with you, the polling like this with you, it's just to kind of give you a general idea of what polls are being taken and what people are using to drive narratives. I do believe that. I think it's probably close. I want to caution people into buying into the red wave stuff because you were told this in 2022 and it didn't materialize. You were told this in 2020 and it didn't materialize. And in 2016, honestly, there could have been a bigger, Trump could have had a bigger win if more Republicans went out to vote, because the places where it was close, literally it was because there was a, and it always kind of is just a, it could have been a higher Republican turnout. And that's why I'm just, you know, so hard. I'm slamming this. Let's please, you know, not, let's get out and vote, early vote, if you can early vote, whatever. And so the, all the polling in that is to, just to give you some, it's kind of a sort of a estimated lay of the land, because honestly, nobody's going to know until Tuesday. No, nobody's going to know until next week. Nobody's going to know. And some of these, I've seen like astrological forecasts more accurate than some of the polls that have been released, honestly. But I will say one of the things that is certain and that is measurable in more ways than just this is enthusiasm for her and her momentum, which is why they're pulling out all of these stops. And it's she's not used to this kind of press. Trump is. And this is also the downfall or the consequence of sort of cloistering yourself and refusing to be tested and do the media and get used to it and learn how to handle it. She doesn't know that, and it's evident. And it's just super evident. I mean, like for Audio Soundbite 9, here she's dismissing some of the internal polling, because I've been hearing that in the internal polling are polls that the campaigns will take and they use to kind of figure out how their campaign's going to operate, you know, what they've got to do, what they don't, what they have to tweak, what they shouldn't. This is her kind of discussing that. Well, not discussing it, dismissing it. Audio Soundbite 9.
Madam Vice President, can you give us a sense of your internal polling at the campaign and how that is making or influencing your decisions on what to do over the next 9 days?
So, to be very frank with you, my internal polling is my instinct. I let the campaign people deal with all that other stuff. And I am responding to what I'm seeing. If you see the people who are showing up last night, every event that we do, and the feeling is one of energy and excitement.
Former President Barack.
Is it though? Is it though? Because she just seems like she's losing it. I mean, she just seems like she's been angry. The campaign's been angry. Their attempts to sort of force any kind of lightheartedness, I don't know how to put it. It's just not good. I don't know. It's been rough. And so that's why they've been pushing this racism, all this stuff. I've said this a million times. This race is Trump's to lose. So can we talk about the Puerto Rico thing? Now, we have a very interesting insight. First, let me set it up. Because he was at Madison Square Garden and he invited this comedian, Tony Hinchcliffe, to come up to the microphone and tell some jokes. This is always kind of an awkward thing. So let me just start by saying it is always awkward to bring up a comedian when you are in a political, or you're at a political event and everyone is one kind of like-minded, right? Because I think part of the beauty of comedy is being able to recognize the funny things about yourself and take it lightheartedly, you know? But the thing is, so this guy, Tony Hinchcliffe, he gets up, he does a short bit at the microphone. Do we have the joke? Do we even, yeah, we'd have it. This is, Steve's like, yep. I want to play this because I will say, I don't think Trump looked at the rundown. It was like, yeah, this is great. Let's roll with this. I think it was the campaign people. But again, you know, the buck stops somewhere. I don't know who thought that. I don't know. He does this show in Austin, Texas. Is this the guy that has the Trump impersonator that comes out?
Yeah.
That's actually funny. Yeah. The guy who does the Trump impersonator is actually hysterical. Oh my gosh. It is actually hysterical. And it's not like mean spirited or anything. So I've seen this guy do his stuff before, but so he's based in Austin. It's actually really, because he has like a Biden. I watched one show that he did where he had a Biden impersonator and a Trump impersonator. And then it was actually very funny. So he comes out. So it's already, I just feel like it's a tough gig. You're at a political rally. You're at a political rally in New York. You're at a political rally in New York at Madison Square Garden. So just, there's a lot there. So this is what happened.
You know, there's a lot going on. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but there's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. Yeah. I think it's called Puerto Rico. Okay. All right. Okay. We're getting there. Now, again, normally I don't follow the national anthem, everybody. This isn't exactly a perfect comedy.
So what gets me is, so he was saying he actually was going after everybody. He was saying what was one of his jokes was Israel and Gaza should settle their beef with best out of three, rock, papers, and scissors. But Gazans will always choose to throw rock. That's actually funny. I get it. I understand. I don't believe in cancel culture. We have a very interesting perspective at the show because one of our producers who works with the first is Puerto Rican. And he's actually conservative. I don't know how much you want me to out you on, but, and I was asking him about this and I'm like, okay, you know, because I was like, were you offended? Were you just so offended? And now you're like, cancel everything. Juan's never talked on the show before, ever. This is his first time ever. Normally he's pushing a million buttons.
Hey guys. No, I was not offended. I think it just like, it goes right into the left's narrative, obviously, because Puerto Ricans tend to lean left. But I mean, I believe there's a big part of the Puerto Rico community that it's actually conservative. So that's why the mixed reaction in the crowd, you know. Mm. So, but at the same time, I also don't believe in cancel culture. So, I mean, that's it. That's about it.
And I asked one, I was like, you tend to lean conservative. And he was like dead on in his answer. He was like, Puerto Ricans are naturally conservative. Isn't that what you said? I found that fascinating. Yeah, you were like, Puerto Ricans are naturally conservative. And he's like, I wasn't offended, but you don't believe that it was the place to do that joke.
Yeah, it's just not the forum.
Yeah, I get it. Thank you, Juan. And my whole thing is never set yourself up to give your opponent oppo or any kind of political ammo. Never do that. And I was reading, so a friend of mine was writing about he's a podcaster, his name's Jeff Charles, and he always jokes about, like, in a fun, tongue-in-cheek way, people of whiteness. And these are people, my friend wrote, who put themselves in positions to be mauled horribly by dangerous animals because they treat the dangerous animals as, like, friends and pets. And it's like this long-running joke, like, why do you do this? Why do you do this? And it's funny because it's actually true. I mean, I've never, you know, I mean, so he jokes and he's like, people of whiteness, why do you do this? Like, why are you trying to pet the bear? Quit it. Why do you even go and touch this moose? You're going to get like beaten to death by the moose. Why would you do this? And it's funny because you know that's true. That's why it's funny. But there's a time and a place for that stuff. You know what I mean? And this close to the election, do I think that something like this is like an immediate, is it a big, I don't think it's a big deal. I really don't. And I think the people who are trying to make it a big deal are desperate prostitutes. You really are. Stop it. Stop pimping for Big Kamala because it's ridiculous. It looks stupid. I am so done with people being offended. I don't think that there's such a thing as being offended. I just think you're a pansy. I think that you're weak and that you're soft and that you are not made to go out and mingle with the public. So until you harden up, you need to keep your ass back in your house because you are ruining it for the rest of us. Was it the place that he should have done this joke? No. And this is where I think it's weird, because if you're in comedy, there are certain times when you should be able to read the room and know this is going to hit and this isn't. or this is the place to do it and this isn't. You know what I mean? There's certain, like for me, for instance, if there are certain times, if I'm going to events, I can tell if people are in the mood for a deep discussion or if they're in the mood for me to just like shred people. I mean, there, you know what I mean? There's a difference. And you guys know this too. Like sometimes you're in the mood to watch different things. So there's, you got to read the room, and it just wasn't the best place to make this joke. Is it a campaign ender? No. And that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Furthermore, I'm just like wondering why the left thinks they get to be the arbiter of taste on this stuff. I mean, you literally have, I mean, well, like what, like all of the people that are freaking out about this, all of the rhetoric from the left, all of the dumb jokes from the left, all, I mean, for crying out loud, let's never forget The View talking about, well, if you stop allowing immigrants in, who's going to clean your toilets? I mean, that's an actual soundbite from The View. All of this, it's so stupid. So it's, I think this is just the outrage. They're trying everything that they can do to stoke division or grab onto something to use as substance. But I mean, you know, I think a lot of people, I don't think that, you know, conservative Puerto Ricans, I think the only people that are caring about it are the white Marxist saviors. Those are the only people that are trying to make it a big deal. And they're like, oh, this guy needs to be canceled. They've been trying to cancel this dude now. And I mean, isn't he Puerto Rican too himself? Hinchcliffe?
Oh, I don't know.
So I thought I read something like that anyway. But I mean, the thing is he's a comedian and he made a joke and he took a risk. And that's part of comedy. Was it the best place to do it? No. Is it a career ender? No. And I think that people who say it should be, they are ought to be the ones who are canceled. I'm just tired of it. I think we're all tired of it. We have more on the way. We have Days of These United States to come. And also, first Musk, now Bezos. So the editorial that Jeff Bezos wrote at the Washington Post, because they have declined to endorse for the first time, what was it, in 30-something years? 36 years, something like that? They have not endorsed a candidate. And the staff is in uproar. Subscribers have made very, they are saying that they're leaving. And Bezos is like, I don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. So is that a sign that things are changing? Life can take a toll on our bodies. There's no way around it. And whether it's just sitting for hours on end at your computer or if you're working a physical job, over time, your body pays the price. There is, however, an effective way to turn back the clock on pain. Relief Factor. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor helps support your body's response to inflammation. And the difference, instead of just masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it for good, and it's 100% drug-free. My husband Chris has taken Relief Factor with incredible results. So if the pains that come with living a full life are affecting you, do as many others have done and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. And when you feel good, it's amazing how much more you get out of life. Visit relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Try it for only $19.95 and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Relieffactor.com.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
And as I've said many times, I'll say tomorrow night in my speech, there's a big difference between he and I. If he were elected on day one, he's going to be sitting in the Oval Office working on his enemies list. On day one, if I am elected President of the United States, which I fully intend to be, I will be working on behalf of the American people on my to-do list.
But you already have one. I feel like that meme where it's that little monkey puppet that's like sitting there looking at the camera, just like making eyes at the camera, and it's like two panels, or the little whatever, the Muppet, whatever it is. The what is it? A bear? I don't even know what it is. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. The vice president says, well, Trump's going to make an enemy. You guys have an enemies list. I mean, hi, that was public. The whole parents, just one example, the parents of the school board. They literally were on a list. And I'm saying that word correctly. I have to say it a lot when it comes to Democrats. Someone's like, you say literally a lot, because that literally happened. They had an actual list of names. So that's what that means. And I'm not saying figuratively, like literally they had one. And it was the people who spoke up at school board meetings, and they had their names on the list, to say nothing of like pro-life people who, oh my gosh, if you pray outside of an abortion on demand, you know, for recreational sex outside of it, then, you know, you're on a list. They love lists. They love lists. They want a registry of gun owners. It's a list. And yes, they view them as, when they call these people like threats to our republic and threats to democracy, I mean, it kind of sounds like you're talking about enemies. Trump would make an enemies list. No, I don't think that he actually, I don't know, I feel like every president has, maybe, or they have their operatives do it. I totally would. Oh my gosh, I've got one now. I would be taking that up with me in the White House and I'd be nailing it to the wall. Actually, I would use a command strip, because I'm sure that plaster is like expensive. And so I would use a command strip with the adhesive, and then I'd put my enemies list there where everyone could see it.
Can hold a lot of weight.
I mean, it's a long list.
Yeah,
I'd probably have to have it custom framed. It's like Santa's rolls. Okay. It's like a Santa roll. Like it's a scroll, and it's like parchment around a very ornate wooden thing. And it's brrm. Just saying, you know, yeah, I'd have it like that. That's what I would do. Trump, I don't think so much, because he likes to be liked, and I don't think he would do that. I don't care about being liked. I just like to get even. So I would have that. So and Democrats kind of, well, they have a list already. We know that. We have a whole other hour on the way. Bezos and Musk. Interesting developments here. Stick with us. Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in existence. Patriot Mobile wants to save you money while not using your hard-earned dollars to work against you at the ballot box. So you're getting the best service in your area without funding the left. And you're also supporting U.S.-based jobs. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They make it easy to switch. They're now offering also Patriot Mobile One. One phone, one carrier, and you also get multiple networks. So you can seamlessly use dual SIM capabilities. You can manage both personal and business lines on a single device, which is nice. And travel-friendly coverage. I have never had one issue traveling with my Patriot Mobile service, and I've traveled extensively in the past like decade plus using it. So visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT, because right now you can get a free month of service when you use offer code Dana. You can also get free activation too. Don't be fooled by the pretenders. Go with the real thing. patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT for your free month of service today. Welcome back to the program. Your lovable curmudgeon right at the top of the second hour here on Tuesday. We are a week away from the elections, and we've got a lot of stuff to hit on that coming up. Make sure you find us over at YouTube, Facebook, and of course, Substack, Chapter and Verse, where later on today I'll have a live event sitting down with my friend Sean Spicer, and we're just kind of shooting the breeze about state of the election and what's to come. So I wanted to present to you there's a lot of media malpractice, but this headline and the way that this particular story was presented is one of the worst that I've seen. It's from the Chicago Tribune. The story is, this is how they headlined it. A 23-year-old man was critically injured Saturday following a shootout with Chicago police in the West Rogers Park neighborhood on the city's far north side, according to authorities. Wow. That's crazy. Do you think that there's anything more about this story we should know? Is there anything we should know? Anything at all? Because I feel like maybe the story should touch on the fact that the individual who did the shooting is an illegal immigrant who illegally immigrated from Northwest Africa, and he was screaming Allahu Akbar before he opened fire on a Jewish man who was walking to his synagogue. That feels like that gives it a little bit more context, right? There's a little more context that it gives there. Feels like there's something else we should know. But that's not the way that they reported it, which is insane to me. The way they said, oh, 23-year-old man was injured following a shootout with police. Wait, why? The 23-year-old man shot a 39-year-old Jewish man, and he approached the 39-year-old Jewish man, targeted him because he was Jewish, and he was walking into his synagogue, and then he screamed Allahu Akbar and opened fire. Why would they leave that out? That's so crazy. I just feel like that's important because, see, the story changes from being just a random 23. Because when you first see the headline, you think gang violence, drugs, probably, right? Just another day in Chicago. And then you just sort of brush it to the side because you think immediately it's a gang or drug story. I mean, even the article itself doesn't, it's kind of wild. They didn't even get into the, I mean, they, I'm reading the article and they don't mention any of this stuff at all, which is insane to me. So you're reading this and you're thinking, oh, it's probably drug or gang crime. No big deal. And so that you just file that away as like another day. Another day. In fact, this was they don't mention at all that they're what the guy yelled. At all. This is how they say. They say that the man who shot at officers approached a 39-year-old man from behind as he was walking down the street. They said that the motive behind the initial shooting remains under investigation. So how they present it and how they hope you read it as like a drug or gang crime story, that is vastly different from what actually happened, and that this illegal immigrant, whose status, by the way, is not mentioned, he's in the country illegally, having illegally emigrated in from Africa. He's here illegally. He's violent. He sees a guy who is Jewish, targets him because he's Jewish, follows him as he's walking to his synagogue, and then screams Allahu Akbar and then shoots him. Now that changes it, doesn't it? It goes from being just a story that you would think is like about random drug or gang crime, and it becomes, okay, so this was, and sounds like an Islamic terrorist who's like killing Jewish people in the street. Now, why is the media trying so hard to downplay this? Apparently, the FBI is involved in the investigation. And Chicago police refuse to identify any of these things because they, rumor is, don't want to be criticized as being Islamophobic. Wait, what? You are worried about being viewed as Islamophobic because an illegal immigrant who is Islamic opened fire on a person because he's Jewish and was walking into his synagogue? This is wild. And they just say, oh, no, it's a 23-year-old. The way that they're presenting it and they want you to think that a 23-year-old had a run-in with police. And then, if there's any further question, they want to float the idea, fear of Islamophobia. Maybe that's why the police acted. That's what they're doing. That's what the Chicago Tribune is doing. And you wonder, they wonder why that people hate them. They have tons of video on various Ring cameras where you can see the guy, you hear him shout Allahu Akbar, and then you see him shoot the dude. Because synagogue is by all these houses. There's tons of video. I watched 4 different videos. So, and you see it from different angles, and you hear him shout it, and you see what he's doing. So why are they... I mean, I'm just shocked that they haven't publicly identified the guy. I'm shocked that, I mean, where's the, I mean, these are people who are like, oh, Trump is Hitler. Where are they at? Democrat run Chicago. Nothing. This is why there's such a major problem with the media. Jeff Bezos wrote an opinion in the Washington Post, and it's called The Hard Truth: Americans Don't Trust the News Media. And he excoriated his own newspaper. He says, when it comes to the appearance of conflict, I'm not an ideal owner of the Post. And he says, I mean, he admits it. And he says lack of credibility isn't unique to the Post. He also goes after all of the other publications. And he says that there need to be, he actually is pushing for more conservative writers to be brought on. And he says that it is biased to endorse. Quote, presidential endorsements do nothing to tip the scales of an election. No undecided voters in Pennsylvania are going to say, I'm going with newspaper A's endorsement. What presidential endorsements actually do is create a perception of bias, a perception of non-independence. Ending them is a principled decision, and it is the right one. End quote. He also says that there's no quid pro quo work. He says no, neither the campaign or candidate were consulted or informed. It was made entirely internally. And he's holding to his position. And in the meantime, the left is freaking out. They're absolutely freaking out. So they've been, Washington Post staffers have been super critical on social media, which is amazing to me. They've been blasting the paper. They've resigned over the paper's failure to endorse Kamala Harris. Per the New York Post, several staffers wrote their last story. They left the paper because the paper refused to endorse. Lately, editorial board members David Hoffman and Molly Roberts also issued their resignations. And they said that it was over that. They named the autocracy, the threat of autocracy and the candidacy of Trump. So stupid. They said over 2,000 subscribers have fled the Washington Post. NPR, who's publicly funded by our tax dollars, is very excited about this. They said 200,000 people canceled their digital subscriptions because, see, they're pansies who need to be told how to vote, apparently. Very interesting. So here's my thought. Because my, you know, first it was, you know, Musk. Is it Bezos now? I think it remains to be seen. Because in order for him to change the culture at the Washington Post, you're going to have to do a spring cleaning of which there's never been seen anything like that in Washington. They're going to have to just clear up the upper decks entirely because there's no way the editorial staff is going to allow him to make the newspaper more credible. They're going to fight against it. And if they can't fight against it, they'll resign, as those two just did, two editorial board members, as I explained. So I think it remains to be seen how serious he is. He would have to clean up. I mean, there's some people got to get fired. Because there are too many of the people who want to turn it into a paper of activism instead of a paper of information. And there are more of those activists than there are just straight journalists. There are some straight journalists there, but there are more activists there than not. Same way with the New York Times. The New York Times has written some really great pieces. In fact, one of the reasons why we even know about the missing kids at the border is because of the New York Times. I first shared that story with you 6 months ago. They did a huge undercover investigation. No one else in the press talked about it. So the New York Times does have some good people there, but they have more activists than they have the good people, and that's the problem. So, as I said, it remains to be seen with the Washington Post as to whether or not it's going to actually rise to the challenge that Bezos has just issued. But there's something else at play here, too. USA Today was the latest to offer up. They decided they weren't going to endorse either. But wait a minute. We were told that by the left that Trump was literally Hitler. But they're still not endorsing the not Hitler against literally Hitler. It's amazing. A spokesperson for USA Today said that they are going to focus on providing, quote, readers with the facts that matter and the trusted information they need to make informed decisions. And they are not endorsing a presidential candidate this election. I mean, they endorsed Biden 4 years ago. They said Trump was, quote, dangerously off course. And now they're not. Their circulation is tiny. They have 132,000 some odd print subscribers. They got more readers online, but they have, like, print's dying. It's dead. Is there something in the air? I think people are so tired of being told what to think that they're now actually interested in thinking on their own. Some, particularly who've always maybe traditionally aligned left to the left. But people just want information. And I think this combined with the massive distrust for the reasons I just illustrated with the Chicago Tribune story, there is a heightened distrust of media. And I think that in order to remain relevant, these entity owners are realizing this, that maybe they should not exclude half of the country with their business model. Now, maybe that's the motivation, or maybe, you know, Bezos understands the hard work it takes to create something, and that maybe has some of the, you know, different tenets of that mindset that he shares with those readers. I don't know. It's too early for me to say, but it is interesting to watch this unfold. I think if Kamala Harris were to lose on Tuesday, you're going to see more of this because it won't have worked. And there's only so many times entities on the left are going to stick their neck out and risk their reputations to advance someone. Right. And I think things would change if she loses. If she wins, is that going to be affirmation that what their tactics work? I don't know. Because I think it depends by how much our partners at Black Rifle Coffee, the best coffee that is out there, the best roast. They get the best coffee beans. This is great coffee, veteran owned, veteran run, veteran roasted. They get the best coffee beans from around the world, and they bring them back to their facilities in Tennessee and Utah, and they roast them. You can have right now at blackriflecoffee.com. You need to check out their Freedom Roast. It's what our founding fathers would drink if they were drinking Black Rifle Coffee. They're drinking any coffee, it'd be Black Rifle Coffee. And if they were drinking Black Rifle Coffee, it'd be Freedom Roast. It's a smooth medium roast. You got notes of milk and chocolate and vanilla, and it's complemented by a hint of cinnamon and a buttery finish, and every sip is a throat punch to Marxism. It's a tribute to liberty and those who fought for our nation. And you can save 20% using code Dana. And subscribe to the Coffee Club at Black Rifle Coffee and get free shipping and automated orders right to your doorstep. And you get the convenience of always having your favorite coffee on hand without the need for last-minute trips. That's stressful when you wake up and there's no coffee. You can also find apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, and more. Get your freedom on with the Freedom Roast from BlackRifleCoffee.com and taste all of the other top shelf roasts they offer, like the Black Roast, Just Black, and Silencer Smooth. And whatever you decide, you get 20% off your order with code Dana. That's 20% off code Dana, BlackRifleCoffee.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the possible, let's see, a couple of things. The DA, actually, I wanted to get to this because we had this headline last week. Philadelphia DA sues Elon Musk and his super PAC over that million dollar sweepstake. Yeah. Well, you kind of knew that they were going to try to do something. Whether or not it's illegal, I just feel like money is speech. And you can do whatever the hell you want. They said it was an illegal lottery scheme. How is it an illegal lottery scheme? Because he was just saying you need to come. If you come and you support this, like voter integrity, and you sign this petition, it wasn't getting people to vote. Do you think it was an indisputably unlawful lottery, Kane?
No.
I don't really think it was either. I feel like these people don't know what lotteries are. So that's going to be a fun lawsuit for everybody. Aliens could be wandering around the Earth right now. Speaking of Musk, this is something he believes. I kind of hope so. He says that he hasn't seen it, but he was joking, we should have an alien registration card. I hope there are aliens walking around because I am bored senseless with the people already here on Earth. Not you guys, but like the left. I'm bored senseless. Oh, wait a minute. It's an election season. Wait till somebody gets called Hitler. Like I can't, you know. I hope that there's some spice in life. Let's have some aliens or some Bigfoot, whatever. We need some kind of fun. But they said it could be walking around Earth right now. This $7 billion for a city within a city planned for Phoenix. Well, that sounds like hell. It's called Halo Vista. It's a manufacturing complex developed by Taiwan semiconductor manufacturing company. Love them semiconductors. Wait a minute. Full stop. Reverse. They said they're spending $65 billion. It could go to $120 billion. So it'll be like a manufacturing plant, a city within the city. I'm totally fine with that. Let them, and they're painting. So go, yeah, go ahead. I thought it was going to be like that crazy wall that they're building out in the desert in the Middle East. Remember the city wall where everybody lives in this giant wall? And it looks weird. I don't know. A man was beaten with a mop. With a mop! Near a stadium complex in South Philly, say police. beaten to death with a mop. One man attacked another man with a mop near the intersection of the stadiums, and they said that it was about 4:20 in the morning. Of course, it was 4:20 in the morning. And the altercation, the victim was beaten to death with this improvised weapon. Doesn't sound like it was improvised. It was just a mop. Stick with us. We got more in store. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, "I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies." Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that, what I can, while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you here. Did you guys, okay, I have a development and then I got a million other things I got to hit. Do you remember the story that we had last week of the Democrat challenger who's getting beaten to death, mercilessly beaten, just beaten within an inch of his life? In the polls by Josh Hawley in Missouri. Okay. And you know the disastrous range day that they had, right? Oh, but there's another twist. Wait, Dana, how can there be another twist? Steve does not like this guy's last name. You don't like his last name, right, Steve? It's the correct way. How do you say D-U-N-C-E?
Dunce.
Shut up. Steve, how do you say... How do you say D-U-N-C-E?
That's be dunce.
Okay. Take the D out and put a K in there.
I'm not doing any of that.
I'm just saying that's the guy's name. Dunce with a K.
I'm not sure that's it.
How do you say his name? Hold up. Hang on. Don't. Hang on. I'm Googling something. Name, pronunciation. Google. Oh, wait. Is this him saying it? Oh, this might be. I think this is. Hang on. Let me see. I'm going to hear this. I'm going to hear this for myself. Just say your name, you stupid moron. Okay. Kunz. Okay, it is. I thought it was Kunz. K-U-N-C-E. Like Dunce. I think he made that up. I mean, of course, my family says my last name with an A. Lash. Even though there's no A in there. Originally, it was Von Lush, and then they made it like Lash. I don't know. I just think it sounded cooler with the all that in there. Anyway, all right, back to this story. So I guess his name is Lucas Kunz. The safety day that he did with Adam Kinzinger, remember where they were shooting over Tannerite and they were shooting steel at like 7 yards out? With like bolt action and, you know, 5.56. And then they were shocked when some of the steel flew off and hit a reporter. The range day was set up in part by a prohibited possessor. It just gets on better. Keeps getting better. The next thing you're going to tell me is that the Bloods and Crips provided guns. They said that. Here's the story from Kansas City Star. Quote. Court records also show that a Holt man, Chad Everett Downs, who played a role in setting up the gun range and remained close to Kutz and Kinzinger during the shooting, faces felony perjury charges, had to do with like a line or something about a past child abuse case, etc. So apparently he's a prohibited possessor and he helped set this up. Oh, so Lucas Kutz, he set up a campaign event and let a prohibited possessor do it. And he wants to preach to everyone about gun control. Oh, okay. It just gets like crazier and crazier, the story. So Kansas City Star just filleted them. I mean, they absolutely were filleted. Like, they went through all the stuff that they did wrong, shooting too close. The range owner apparently has, I mean, and the guy who owned it, that's the guy who owned it is the prohibitive possessor, reportedly, who also helped organize the whole thing. I don't even know where they got their guns. So some of these guns apparently weren't even theirs. I don't think any of them were, which is evident in the way that Kinzinger was holding it. Kane's over there just like turning into a meme. What else is there? I mean, I'm just waiting. What else are you going to tell me? Like, gang members provided the guns and ammo, and then they all like stopped and did some meth. I mean, what else is going to be here? What else is happening with us? The Kuntz campaign did not respond to questions about the prohibited possessor who helped organize their Range Day event. You guys can't have guns. We're big gun control guys. My name's Lucas Kuntz. Vote for me. I'm a big gun control guy. By the way, here's my Range Day where I shot a reporter and the whole thing was put on by a prohibited possessor. Woo! Great day at the range. Good night. It just gets weirder and weirder, man. This guy's whole political career is over. This is worse than Michael Dukakis in a helmet. This is so much worse. It just got worse and worse and worse. Okay, we got to talk about Hamas.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hamas. I prefer the other way. Did you guys hear about the New Jersey woman who tore down a bunch of Greek flags because she thought they were Israeli flags? TikTok influencers. So she's like recording herself. This is what I hate. I hate this. I hate this constantly. That's why I hate doing stuff anymore, like on social media with like recording, because I feel like such a stooge. This woman was really recording herself, and she was screaming in this pro-Hamas rant. I don't stand for genocide. I don't stand for Zionism. And she was recording herself, pulling down all these flags. It was in Montclair, New Jersey, and pulling down like all these, you know, what she thought were Israeli flags. She's 23 years old. She's at least smart enough to know how to put on horribly fake eyelashes, but she's not smart enough to tell the difference between Greek and Israeli flags. Well, they're both blue and white. Like, what? I mean, they're both blue and white. I just figured. I mean, it has a giant cross on it. You dummy. It has a giant cross on. But she was yelling at she literally recorded herself yelling at restaurant workers, asking them if they knew that there was a genocide going on and that they are killing children. And then finally, after all of, you know, she was done screaming, she was told the flags were Greek. And then she goes, I thought it was Israel. My bad. It is one of the most, I mean, it says heroes on the menu that's painted on the window. I mean, geez. They're really different. The Greek flag literally has a cross in the corner. It's a cross. The Israeli flag has the Star of David. This is just between this and the influencers who drown because they would not put on life jackets on a boat. This is peak 2024. This is why I hate the influencer thing, right? Like, we're going to be, watch as we descend into a civil war. Hi, welcome. Today, as I like prep, we're going to talk about, the politics of a civil war. Why I put my camo paint on. I'm done with it. I'm done with all of it. So, yeah, so this chick, apparently she's going back to court in December because of all the destruction. How do you confuse the cross on a flag with the Star of David on a flag? Blue and white, I can't. That's the state of everything. That's how dumb everything is right now. It's peak 2024. It really is. So a couple of things to get into, because this, let me pull this up. I got a bunch of audio as well. Kamala Harris was touring a plant. And she was trying to touch the sharp stuff. Audio soundbite 15. This is just horrible. I'm going to play two cuts for you that are horrible. First is 15.
Here is actually a harvested U-rod, and we actually do grow it.
So this is what it looks like when it comes out of our processing bag. Do not touch it.
Do not touch it.
And I won't touch it. It's
very
sharp. Yes,
yes,
very sharp.
Okay.
So with that being said.
Can I touch it? What do you think you're in? Marion Barry's office? Oh, not Marion Barry. Who's the other one? He was the one who's on cocaine.
Willie Brown.
She thinks she's... Okay, let me start over. Where do you think you're at? Willie Brown's office? I had a Marion Barry story headline where the restaurant was getting... They were trying to sue the restaurant because they were making Marion Barry rolls and putting powdered sugar on them. And they're like, that's so mean. And I think it's funny. There was another, because it was still cringe. Audio Soundbite 16. Listen.
Together with the work that you are doing here, what is it? Polysilicon? Silicon, I'm sorry. That wasn't right. Right?
Why? It just is so bad. It's just all so bad. Like, why is, but if you thought, if you love that, you're going to love this hit. This is one of her greatest word salads. Mm, you're going to get your total intake of greens today, folks. Audio soundbite 14. Here we go.
You know, I think that when we understand who we are as a nation, we take great pride in being a leader on so many things. And we have a tradition of that. But I think what we know as Americans is that we cannot rest on tradition. We have to constantly be on top of what is happening, what is current, and investing in the industries of the future, as well as honoring the traditions and the industries that have built up America.
What the hell is this?
And what you all are doing here is exactly that.
So our tradition is knowing who we are as a country and then doing stuff, and then that's the tradition, but we can't rely on that tradition of knowing who we are, and that is important for tradition, but we can't rely on it, but it's important. What? She apparently had a Michael Scott moment. Audio soundbite 11.
Because it's about all of us. It's about all of us. And listen,
what?
I have.
Oh no! Why is it so awkward? I've never seen anybody kill like an audience like that. Ha! Ah, now I want you to shout your own name, and everyone's like, "The hell, Joe, Tiffany with an I." Wow. I can't. We got to talk about the Beyonce thing. The Beyonce that never was. Because she didn't sing when she showed up at the rally again. Y'all got took is what happened again. We got to talk about all that and more. There's a lot of, and then we have the MSNBC fight. We got to get into. We got all of this stuff to get into. We got a lot of stuff today still. And then coming up later, Tarrant County Sheriff. Remember the story I was telling you about just last week about Trende Aragua, who is in Fort. They're actually in Fort Worth. They're in Dallas, and they're like trafficking people. It's everywhere. Tarrant County Sheriff Bill Wayburn is going to join to talk about that as well. We got a lot to hit.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so a couple of stories here. This involving sneakers. I don't know why. This is a sad story. So this dude, this Florida man, was convicted of murdering a teenager over a pair of Yeezys, Adidas Yeezy. And he lunged at the victim's father in the courtroom. A Florida man. He murdered a teenage girl over these Yeezy sneakers 4 years ago. They're in court. And Adrian Cosby, 23, murdered 18-year-old high school senior Andrea Lacayo. And during his sentencing, Lacayo's father read a statement that set the murderer off. And Lakeo's father said that you're the epitome of evil and darkness that this world represents. And he says, you're an animal. He called him an animal, said you're, you know, in prison the rest of your life. Cosby immediately started cussing him, leapt from his chair, and it took six officers to restrain him. And it happened when Lakeo and her boyfriend were looking to sell these shoes that were, they're like really expensive. And they said that they met with this guy outside of an abandoned house in Homestead. And they were kind of going back and forth over payment. And that's when Cosby approached, he was with the other guy, approached the driver's side door, shot both of them, and then they took the shoes for $935 is what they did. So that's crazy. And also, never do a shoe exchange outside of an abandoned home anywhere. That's like super sketch. How many people have samurai swords in Florida? Because this dude used a samurai sword. Because we just literally had a samurai sword or a machete. What was it?
Machete.
It was a machete. Yeah. This dude was accused of using a sword to attack his friend over an Xbox. The guy is from Daytona Beach. He had stopped by the victim, Walter Grimes, stopped by the victim's apartment along South Beach Street. They were going to hang out. The dude was upset because he was currently homeless and he had to walk around with his stuff. Apparently he knew this guy for like the victim for like 2 years. When Grimes asked the victim if he was going to give him his Xbox, the victim replied no. And then that's when Grimes grabbed a samurai sword and struck the friend twice across the left side of their face and shoulder. And then he grabbed the Xbox and ran away. So they obviously called 911 and the victim is okay. But this dude was on the run. That's kind of crazy. I mean, you knew the dude for 2 years. Sounds like he was probably sketchy before then. I'm just going to say it seems like he probably was. Okay, so this is another machete story. This was just the other day in Palm Coast, WFLA. A Palm Coast man was arrested because deputies say he threatened workers who were doing stormwater inspections. It was a maintenance company. He got mad because they temporarily blocked a road, and he jumped out of his car and was swinging around a machete. Flagler County. I mean, it's like that's like normal, I guess, is the thing that you have, like gators and machetes there, I guess. The employees told officials that 43-year-old Miguel Rodriguez was mad because they blocked the road while backing up one of their vehicles. They didn't have any signs posted. Deputies say they had several signs posted, whatever. But they said that Rodriguez drove around the worksite, stopped his truck, got out to yell, "I'm going to chop some bees up." Not like bees, but you know what I mean. While walking towards them with a machete. One worker said he ran into a wooded area because he feared for his life. Then Rodriguez got back into his truck and sped off into traffic. So they did find him, and he had several machetes in his truck. Kane, he kept the machete that he used, just kept it right there on the dashboard.
Oh, convenient.
His car was parked. He was in, you know, doing something, and just kept it right there on the dashboard. Is that like a auto theft deterrent? Like, would you bust up into somebody's car if they just had like a machete, like laying all cool, like up
you
in the?
You just never know who you got to cut the last minute.
I just want to know why that seems so commonplace. The machetes. I don't know. We have a lot more on the way, including the big fight on MSNBC and or CNN, sorry, over that Mehdi Hasan dude. He got mad because there was a joke made at his expense. Stick with us. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of this third hour here. We are a week out from the election. You can keep up with everything over at Facebook. Also, YouTube, where I have the chat at Rumble, Substack. Chapter and verse, where I'm doing a live discussion later today at 3 p.m. Central. But make sure you go out and vote. You need to vote. Early vote if you can. Early vote and show up so much and get people to register and ballot harvest and do all of that until Democrats make it to where you have to vote on one day and have to have ID. We all voted. We had our family voting day. Like, everybody came in, everybody votes, and you have to have ID in Texas and voted. We all voted on Friday. And it was my college sophomore's very first time voting. And everyone's like, first time voter. And they do the little applause and we all got our stickers and all that stuff. So we had four votes that canceled out the Marxists. But there were a lot of people early voting, a lot of people early voting. And I think it's still a little early to say how much this is going to push in Republicans' favor. The more Republicans you have turnout, the better it is, obviously. And you have in Pennsylvania, you've had several hundred thousand more registered Republicans go and vote. You have 1 million new Republican voters in Florida. You have a bunch of new, some of these battleground states. it should be really I think maybe looking at some of the early voting, if you have a lot of Republicans going out, that's a very good sign, obviously. So the betting markets have moved towards the former president. And this is just interesting looking at all of this stuff. I'm just wondering, like, if, say that Trump, and this is one of the things I'm going to talk about in my Substack discussion later today. So, like, if Trump wins, like, what is the left going to do? I mean, obviously, there's going to be rioting. I would think so, wouldn't there? Kane, are you down with the dude? Do you think there's going to be some rioting?
I think it's 'tis the season. Like, it's the season for rioting. So I wouldn't be surprised to see rioting.
I'm going
to
tell you something. Forgive my Portuguese. I'm going to be pissed if any of my day is disrupted by riots. Because we had to endure a years-long election. And we're going to follow it up by people rioting. The left would riot. I mean, I know it's, you know, a day that ends in Y for them, but can you just stop it? So that's one of the things that we'll be discussing here coming up. So I don't know. I think election day should be a federal holiday, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
It really should. And we should require it be a federal holiday, you know, require, you know, have in-person voting. Although it is tough for the people who are, you know, if you live out of town or out of state, that makes it a little tough. I think there should be, I'm fine with having like military and, you know, if you're a college kid that's going like forever away, you know, I get it. Unless you just have it like everybody have the National Voting Day on, have everybody go vote Saturday and then have like Friday the day off where they can all travel, something like that. I don't know. Maybe there's maybe a way around it. But anyway, it's just something to think of because you got to think of the people who can't maybe get back to vote. So I don't know. I think there's probably always going to be some exceptions to that. But it's interesting. So the latest, let's see, is, I mean, their RCP average has them tied. Trump is 0.4, 48.5, 48.1. The battlegrounds, he's ahead by almost a full point. The betting average is in his favor. And it is, I mean, it's close. Everything at this point, no one's going to know until Tuesday. They're not going to know till Tuesday. And I think you got to go out, you got to do your duty, make sure your friends and family vote. And then it is in the hands of the Lord after that. That's where it is. Switching gears here. I do think it is easier for people to get the truth of things now with X being owned by Musk, as opposed to how it was before. There was a really great, and it's like 2 minutes, but I wanted to play it. Bill Ackman, and I think everybody, you guys know who Bill Ackman is. He's like, he's a hedge fund manager. He's this like billionaire. He's with Pershing Square. He gave this very interesting interview where he was talking about X and media. And I dropped this in Slack and I wanted to play this. It is new media. It's like a new citizen journalism. You still have to be aware, which I'm going to showcase right after we play this, of certain things and ask questions. But I want you to listen to this because he was asked about his thoughts on media and X. And he says that it's just really making people much more aware of how long and to what degree the press has lied to you. Listen to this.
Well, you need neutral spaces in media.
Bill's an optimist, by the way.
Neutral spaces in media where you can counteract I don't even want to use the word misinformation because that itself has problems. Look, I don't want to sit here and just be an advertisement for X. But what's interesting, you know, someone writes a profile of me in some media form, I can, you know, within an hour of that article coming out, I can, you know, very specifically fact check, rebut, address the issue, as could obviously any candidate for office. You know, prior to X being sort of this neutral platform, you send the Times a beg them for a correction, right? And in a few weeks on, quote unquote, page 43 in a place no one would read, the correction would appear. And I think the more the public has lost confidence in kind of conventional media, the more they're going to look to empirical voices in podcasting and kind of citizen journalism on X. And I do think that's a powerful counterpoint.
Mm.
The most powerful moment for many people, actually one of them for me, is I truly believed that Trump had said that the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists were very fine people, were among the very fine people who were protesting. And it takes about 2 minutes to actually watch what he said to realize that he said precisely the opposite, that he condemned. He said, I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists when he's talking about very fine people. And that's the moment when you realize, oh my God, I really have been misled by the media. You look at the 60 Minutes excerpting that was done of, Kamala, and you realize how much you can be manipulated, particularly by taped.
See, that's why that 60 Minutes thing was so huge. I believe him when he says, too, that he's like, I really have been misled. Because think about it. If you're not on social media, and a lot of you out there are, and you guys know I am, if you're not out there to see all of this and to have that accountability with community notes, et cetera, what are your so-called receipts, right? If you're not on X and you're not seeing this stuff, what are your receipts? CBS? I mean, not even Fox has everything. How do you combat that narrative when it is reported and then reinforced, and nothing to the contrary is presented, not even full context? And he's an open-minded guy. And I can see, obviously, why, you know, the whole thing with the Nazi, because his wife is Israeli. So when he looks into this, that makes sense, right? Think about how many people you know that aren't, what is it, like not even 13% of Americans are on social media, are like on X? It's a tiny fraction. That's why I always say it's not real life. It is where media fights and some of the top of cultural fights happen. But the rest of everybody else isn't on there. So guys like him, you know, he's in finance and that. He's not seeing this stuff. The average everyday person isn't seeing this stuff. They see what's reported and they think, well, why shouldn't I take it at face value? They're taking the trouble to present this. You know, maybe there's some truth. And sometimes, you know, this just the seed is planted. So what I believe him when he says that. And then when he looks on X and then realizes, and that's the thing, you've got community notes on these things now. I mean, it's unbelievable to see. You have community notes. You have all this other stuff that's out there. And it's easy to see immediately. And remember, I was banned from community notes. I can participate in it now. But I was previously banned because I had shared. I wrote it on Substack. I didn't even share directly the New York Post piece. I wrote about the laptop thing on my Substack and they banned me for it. For quote unquote disinformation. And then it wasn't, and I was down a couple of days before they actually reinstated my account because so many people were getting, I mean, I was suspended. My whole account was locked up. I couldn't access it. And now, and it was a real story. I was censored for politics. And now, and I couldn't be a part of the community notes because of that. They used that as a strike against me. And it wasn't until Musk acquired X, or now it's X, and change that now I can do community notes. I wasn't one of the people allowed to say this is false and here's why, because they had censored me before. Isn't that unbelievable? Now I can't. Now you can see community notes on these like egregiously ridiculous stories. And I mean, I just think it's very interesting. The whole thing is interesting. I loved his comments there. Now you can kind of see why Bezos is moving in the direction that he is. And, you know, it's fascinating stuff. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Sheriff Bill Wayburn because one of the other issues that we have to discuss is this issue of immigration. And a lot of this is going to be coming up, obviously, during the with ID and using ID to go and vote. I don't know why anybody would not have ID to go vote. It is wild to me that you could just go up and just cast a vote and not have to show ID. It is wild to me. But that's the way that a lot of people on the left are arguing. And they're saying that it's racist or something else to have ID. It's just the whole thing is just crazy to me. All entirely misrepresented as well. I wanted to play. Can we talk about this Mehdi? Do we have time to talk about the Mehdi Hasan thing?
How much time do you need?
At CNN. So CNN, really quickly, this was, where's the audio where he originally said it?
27.
Okay, let's play 27 real quick. This was on CNN. He had just called Ryan Gierdusky a Nazi, and Ryan Gierdusky had his own response, and then the fallout happened. Listen.
My problem is, I get it. Nobody wants to be called Nazis. It's very inflammatory. But if you don't want to be called Nazis, stop doing
it. You've been called an anti-Semite more than anyone else's table.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people will sit there and, no, by me. I never called you an anti-Semite. Okay. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying
I'm a supporter of the Palestinians. I'm used to it.
It's fine. Well, I hope your beeper doesn't go off. The thing is,
Did you just say I should be killed? No, I did not say that. Hold on. Did your guest just say I should be killed on live TV?
I said I hope
you're... Guys, let me just stop.
You said you hope my beeper doesn't go off.
Yeah, but he called him a Nazi. Literally called him a Nazi earlier. And then, of course, there's tons of video of Mehdi Hasan, like, sitting here calling people, you know, like, just smearing Jewish people, et cetera, et cetera. He did nothing. So now he's been, like, kicked off of CNN. Audio sound by, what is this? 28, Abby Phillips. Listen to this. So stupid.
We're back here, and before we get started, I want to just address what happened in the last segment. First, I want to apologize to Mehdi Hasan for what was said at this table. It was completely unacceptable. When we get this discussion started, you'll see that
Ryan
is not at the table.
But it's okay if he calls somebody a Nazi.
There is a line.
It's okay if he calls somebody a Nazi. So CNN issued a statement. And they said there's zero room for racism or bigotry at CNN or on our air, blah, 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 blah. Ryan Gierdusky will not be welcome back on our network. So they don't think that calling a Jewish person a Nazi qualifies as bigotry. But Gierdusky responding to being called a Nazi by saying, I hope your beeper doesn't go off, that is. Because that's what happened. And Hasan has done that tons of times on that network. Hell, I have been called a domestic terrorist on that network. This is why people hate the media.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
As soon as you can get me Biden soundbite here, please do, because OMG. All right, so first up, I came across a real banging soundbite for you guys. So hold up. Let's see. First up. Oh, you do have it? Play it.
Chris,
yes.
Von Halen. What the hell's his name? He's new. Chris Von. Chris and I have been doing this for so many years now, it's getting old.
He's talking about Chris Von Hollen, who has literally been in Congress, the correct usage, since 2003. And he goes, Senator Chris Van Halen. Van Halen, what the hell's his name? He's new. Bam, 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 bam. Good night. All right, so there's a ban on smacking in what? So... in England. It's the smacking ban. Smacking children in England. There's no imminent plans to change the law. So they said that the legislation is not going to be advanced anytime soon. They're trying to ban what? Corporal punishment? Physical discipline? Oh my gosh. You are going to raise an island of absolute female copulatory organs with this nonsense. Spare the rod and spoil the child. That's what happens. So they said that... yeah, if you don't understand the difference between corporal punishment and child abuse, please go get sterilized. Do us a favor. Do not poison humanity with your strain of obscene stupidity that you would give us in the form of your genetic material. Please go sterilize yourself. Please. All right, that's out of my system. Let's see here. The fitness app Strava gives away... the location of Biden, Trump, and other leaders, according to a French paper. What? But they would have to use it, though, right? They can track it through a fitness app that their bodyguards use. But I don't... But see, I guess Secret Service, they admitted that they used it. They said that it doesn't compromise anything in any way or the protection that they... I just don't know why anybody would use that. I don't know. It just seems like it would immediately be a security question to use that app in the first place, right? That's my thought on it. And a woman was taking photos. She's a professional photographer, so not an influencer, but she literally backed into a moving airplane propeller in Wichita and it killed her. 37-year-old Amanda Gallagher. That's so sad. Oh my gosh. Tarrant County Sheriff Bill Wayburn joins us next.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of this third hour. And don't forget the Substack event, myself and Sean Spicer at 3 p.m. Central on Substack. And you can also find us, too, for the show, Rumble, Facebook, YouTube, Channel 347, DirecTV, all of that good stuff. I got a number of stories here. There was a story a couple of weeks ago about a woman in Highland Park, Texas, who was attacked by people who were in the country illegally. There was apparently another story of, this was like 2 months ago, where, the NBC DFW mentions Venezuelan gangs kidnapping some members of the gang were actually apprehended and they're facing capital murder charges because they've been abducting people. Then there's the story of like trafficking from, you know, it's the Tren de Aragua gang, the Venezuelan gang that's in Fort Worth, in my county where I live, like legit just down the highway. And when I was reading the news stories about this, I went and I was like, because I'm always curious is when you hear about a house that's like a house where they're storing people for human trafficking, you just think of something from the movies. You don't think of like a suburban neighborhood with like leafy green trees and there's a Quick Trip down the street. It's crazy. And it's so present now. It is so ubiquitous. It is everywhere. And apparently like the majority of people who are coming up from Venezuela have been like freed from like their prisons there. There are people who have violent records, and to the point where Mexican authorities are actually super violent with Venezuelans that come in illegally because they're violent with them. That's one of the things I learned watching James O'Keefe's thing, was how many there were, and Mexican police, the federales, were even saying that, yeah, they're a huge problem for us even. Also at James O'Keefe's event, I saw my sheriff, Tarrant County Sheriff Bill Wayburn, who has a cowboy hat for every occasion, I have to say. And he always has the best hats. And Sheriff Wayburn joins us now via Skype. Sheriff, it was good to see you. Tell us about this, because my mind was blown. I mean, Highland Park, Texas, dealing with stuff like this, that is an old bougie neighborhood. Let's just be real. It's a very fancy, fancy neighborhood. And then the other stories that I've been seeing, especially of, you know, Tren de Aragua and, you know, human trafficking in Fort Worth, I mean, these are suburbs. I mean, they have Quick Trips and car washes and Panera Breads. These are suburbs. But that, I think, is I guess, just how scary prevalent this has become. Tell us about this.
Well, it has become prevalent. Over the last few years, as the borders have been wide open, we have seen the cartel partner with many, many people and do various things, including human smuggling and human trafficking, and including have stash houses right here, trying to keep people until they pay off their cartel debt. Now we've got the Venezuela group, which our intel tells us that their prison population of Venezuela has gone down 25% or 30%.
Wow.
So, and we believe that a lot of those people who came here. We know from Border Patrol that several thousands, over 10,000 people that they know are 14,000 just in the last year and a half came in that have lengthy criminal histories, and they're here somewhere among it.
This is, I mean, it's unbelievable. There was a home invasion in DFW area, again, from the Tren de Aragua gang, and they have a rival group apparently, and they're getting a major foothold in North Texas, in Tarrant County. I mean, what is it? I mean, I hate to even ask this question, but I feel like so many people, they think it's just something, you know, Tren de Aragua, that just happens at the border, or they just go to blue cities, sanctuary cities. That's not necessarily the case, because, I mean, this is definitely not a sanctuary state. Everything's been made a sanctuary area kind of by Biden-Harris, but I mean, it's here, it's in Texas. It's in the reddest county in the United States.
They are. They're right here. We have some of them in jail. We have PDAs in jail right now. And of course, they don't come in and tell us all that. We have to connect a bunch of docs before. And we have done that. We work with our federal partners on where they're at, what they're doing. And we know that they're grouping up, meaning that they're living in a lot of apartment complexes where there's several of them there. And we know that they're getting jobs temporarily for some cash flow. But obviously, they're into street crimes, and they're into drugs and human trafficking.
What kind of jobs do they get, out of curiosity?
Well, we've heard that they've worked some docks, you know, some day jobs and stuff like that, where they can get a little bit of money from those places. But, you know, it's people who are paying cash to get things done and that kind of thing. But they're here, and they are in danger.
How has this affected the crime rate?
We haven't yet in Tarrant County seen a large spike like other counties. Like Harris County has had some issues. Obviously, they had the murder of that little girl down mm-hmm. at the TDA. You just spoke of what's going on in Dallas County, where they've had some other things that have happened. And right now, like I said, we have four or five that are a handful that are in jail. I think at one time we had up to 20, but they've been either convicted and sent to prison. And it's for various offenses, including violent offenses.
So they're here illegally. They get afforded the due process of an American citizen, and then they get housed in our taxpayer-funded jails, correct?
Yes, good summary. That's
and exactly you, and you're not allowed to deport them, because then the DOJ would come after you.
Well, that's right, but we do have, we put out immigration holds on them. So when the state of Texas is done with them, we're turning them over to immigration, so you got to come and get them, and it's on you if you don't do the right thing.
Wow. And even then, you don't, I mean, because you said you still have some in jails right now, so obviously you put the holds out on them. I mean, what is that process like? So you put that out. I mean, is ICE even allowed to respond anymore? I can't even believe I'm asking that, but we don't know. We don't know if they're allowed to.
Well, they're only going to respond if they're violent criminals or if they're felons. That's the only ones that are going to, and there's a couple of misdemeanors, but they're few and far in between that they will come and get. And we know that because they won't put a hold on, you know, when we have somebody come in for, you know, misdemeanor theft, and we said, hey, this person's here illegally, and they go, we're not putting a hold on.
Wow. And what the crazy thing is that offense could be misdemeanor theft, but they could have a violent record that you don't know about because, you know, when they enter illegally, obviously they're not going to bring their rap sheet with them.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And some of these countries will not like Venezuela, will not talk to us. So we won't know who we are.
So should, you know, the average person, I don't know, because I hear all these stories, you know, I get, you know, like you have the grandmothers out there, and I love our grannies, I love our nanas out there, but they, you know, they get out there and they're like, well, you know, you got to be worried about being trafficked, and you got to be worried about having your kids kidnapped. And then you hear stories like Jocelyn Ungerry, and you hear, you know, all of these Rachel Morin, and, you know, the story about the home invasion in Dallas and the things that are happening in Colorado. And you're like, actually, I realize that it might still be statistically maybe rare, but with it being so obvious that they're here illegally and the DOJ not doing anything about it, ICE being, you know, kind of having their hands tied, it seems like it's happening more and more. So what is, you know, the average amount of concern that's healthy for the regular everyday person?
I think being very much aware of who where you're at, where you're surrounding, obviously, like that home invasion. You know, people are going, they're going to remember that for the rest of their lives. In fact, they'll mark time, pre-invasion, post-invasion, in their particular life. Where people say, well, it's anomaly, it's small. Well, it shouldn't have ever happened because they were here illegally in the first place. But I would say to the average American citizen, we need to stay vigilant. We need to make sure that our elected officials know that we want a sovereign state and a sovereign country and start enforcing the law. Yeah. That's what I would tell them.
I worry that I know you're running for re-election, Sheriff, and I just worry if it's anybody other than you in that seat, because I've seen the policies, you know, of, you know, the Marxist left and what they're wanting to bring to the kind of just makes me very, very nervous about that, because I just think it's going to be unless you have somebody, a strong lawman in this position. I mean, I shudder to think what would happen to this county without you doing what you do.
Well, I thank you very much for your kind words. And people of Tarrant County have a choice to make. They have that very choice. There's far left liberal that is running for this seat that full-throatedly endorses the Biden's policies. And you have me.
So you can either vote to have more Trendaragua or, you know, less Trendaragua. That's the thing. One of the things, and I wanted to ask you about this, because they've been hammering you so much on this. And I was actually looking at, you know, obviously, when you have people that are taken into jail, and especially if they're violent, a lot of these people have health issues. And especially if they're into a ton of drugs, there are health issues that are even complicated all the more by the illicit narcotics that they're using. And I know that they've been trying to go after you and other law enforcement officers about fatalities that have been taking place in county jail. And I was looking at, there are a lot of people that you have that have serious health issues, and then the drug issue further complicating that. I mean, what, I mean, I would say that that's like the vast, from what I've seen, and I'm sure you'll correct me if I'm wrong on this, it just looks like the vast majority of that particular demo that you're bringing in and that is affected and cited in these stories, they have these health complications, and it's furthermore exacerbated by drug use.
Absolutely. That's exactly spot on of research. 97% of these people die in the hospital in the care of fine medical people. And we have great medical people in jail, too, that spot that. But, you know, we've lost people to cancer, heart attacks, kidney failure, cirrhosis of the liver. We've got a guy in the hospital that's been there for 100 days right now.
Wow.
Medically speaking, he may never get out of the hospital. And the Lord can do what he wills there, but medically speaking, he won't get out of the hospital. So the vast majority of them die from very natural causes. Then we have isolated incidents after that.
Yeah. And I know, I mean, and I like what you had said, too. You know, I mean, you always do everything that you can to keep, you know, up to date, the latest training. But, you know, if I don't, obviously I'm not a law enforcement officer. I also think that maybe one of the ways that people could avoid having any complications in a jail cell is maybe don't do drugs and then don't commit violent crime that finds you in a jail cell while you're on drugs.
That is great advice. And you're spot on again. And I would say to people, you do methamphetamines for 20 years, your body's not going to put up with
it. Yeah. Shocker. The withdrawal might hurt you. Yeah, sure that's. Would. It seems like it should be obvious to, like, I don't know, NBC, DFW, and some of these other entities out there. So I hope that they include that in their next write up. Sheriff Bill Wayburn, always appreciate you joining us, and just thank you for your time. Thank you for doing what you do, because one of the reasons why I love this county and I always feel so safe in this county is because you and your officers do such an amazing job, and you all are so incredibly transparent about everything. And, you know, as someone who's suspicious of my government but appreciates good law enforcement, I thank you for that.
I'm honored to be in your presence, man, and thank you.
Of course. Thank you so much.
And you carry on the voice that you have. We need
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. That's Sheriff Bill Wayburn, who is, I think, I don't know anybody who is the Texas lawman more than him. I think, like, when they created the Texas lawman, they've traveled into the future and they saw Sheriff Wayburn. And then they're like, we're going to do that. We're going to make it like that guy. And then they went back, and then that's how it all worked. It was great.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
We were able to do something pretty amazing on the program in that we actually got a video where you can see Kamala Harris's poll numbers actually go down, and the frightening speed, the devastating speed at which they are actually plummeting to earth. And we're the only program to ever be able to showcase this to you. Juan, if we could pull this up. I mean, it's pretty amazing. This is a live look. This is, watch her poll numbers just plummet to the ground. It's never anything like it before. I haven't said this, other people have. It's her polling numbers going completely. This is what it looks like exactly. Just, oh my gosh, that was, oh my gosh, and that's October 20th, oh my gosh, right there. Oh,
man.
We didn't say that. Other people have said this. Not us. Let's look at our polling numbers. Just saying. So, now, later today, in fact, at 3 o'clock, I'll have a conversation with Sean Spicer over on Substack. Get the app to do it. And you can follow along, and it's free to get the app. It's real easy. If you're a subscriber, you have all the instructions on how to do that already. So you should be a subscriber. But it's part of the Substack dialogues, and it's just some interesting stuff. We're having some conversations, you know, things and stuff, and it should be very good. So I'm going to be talking with him about that, about all this stuff. So it'll be a fun conversation. And then I think later tonight I will be on with Jesse Waters. I still don't know the topic or time, but I will let you know if you follow me on Facebook or wherever. I'll keep you up to date with all of that stuff. But we're literally a week out. Now tomorrow I'm going to be saying we're less than a week out from here on out. And then Monday it'll be like tomorrow, right? So we're so close. Make sure you go and early vote in Texas. Early voting ends Friday. I've already early voted. I got my sticker. And my favorite thing is to wear my sticker. I wasn't the big sticker either, not like I wanted. But I did wear it around legit all day. And you find yourself going like this. My sticker. See? Like I have my voting sticker here. I'm like, see, it's right here. Do you do that? Not just me? Okay. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right. It is our vice president. Now imagine you get an entire crowd of people chanting your name. And the next thing you do, and by the way, this is cut 11.
This is so awkward.
And the next thing you do is kill the crowd chanting your name. Listen to what Kamala does here.
Oh my gosh.
Oh.
Joe. Marsha.
An episode of The Office or something.
Oh my gosh. Michael Scott. Like I've never seen anybody kill a chant ever, but faster in my life. I mean, also, it was like a baby in a Planned Parenthood. That's how quickly that thing was boom.
Well, you went there, didn't you? I was going to say it's a visual representation of her polls, like that one fat guy falling through the.
Yeah.
The kid jungle gym thing?
That was reality hitting the steel at a Lucas Kuntz event. Yeah, we can just do it all day. 3 p.m. Substack. Make sure you get the app. Find me at Chapter and Verse. Have a great night. I'll be back with you tomorrow on Fox Later Tonight.